Coming up on today's show, what were the crowds at Disney World like when Epic Universe opened? We're going to talk about that in my latest trip report. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome everybody to episode number 496 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. I am your host this week, and I am joined, as always, by John.
Parrot's life for me. Parrot's life for me.
Is that the beak from Beak in the Barrel?
I guess it would be. Yeah. Going in the near future.
Coming up soon.
Can't wait for that one. I don't understand why they took him away from the pirate's entrance. I mean, it still fit.
He was rusted and weathered, probably. Barely holding rusted together because of all the rain in Florida. Yeah.
Was he covered with skin that peels?
Probably covered with feathers. I don't know.
Okay.
It just won't heal, I guess.
No, because he can't heal. I mean,
he's a machine. He's an animatronic. Yes. He's more machine now than bird. Okay.
Always was.
Really.
That looks derailing really, from the very beginning.
We're mixing a lot of different things for this. Okay.
A lot of old pop culture references.
Yes. We've lost everybody. Sorry. Let's come back to.
Sorry, folks. We're from the 1900s.
Yeah. Yeah. This is dating us pretty quickly. All right. I did recently return from a lengthy trip to Walt Disney World during the same time frame as Epic Universe opening. So I heard a lot about Epic.
It's epic.
A lot of people were talking about it while I was there. So I will talk about some of that. But there's some news to dive into, too, before we get to that. But
there is?
There's a little bit. I wanted to touch on a couple of news stories that came out. The one was we have an opening date now for Disney's Starlight Nighttime Parade. And did you hear some of the song? I thought the song sounded pretty good, what they previewed.
I didn't listen. No, what's...
There was like a brief part of the song that they released as well. I thought it was good. But July 20th is the day that it will premiere. And they've already kept annual pass holders. You can't go get in for free after without a reservation. And 2 p.m. for like the first few days. So you have to have a Magic Kingdom reservation.
Did you have to make a reservation this past?
I sure did. Oh, I did, yes. Because there were no good to go days on. I had to make all the park reservations. I ended up changing one of them too at the last minute. But yeah, Starlight, what do you think? I mean, I think it looks like it's going to be a good successor to not only Main Street Electrical Parade, but Spectrum Magic. I'm looking forward to this.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Well, I think it could be. The other news I did want to mention is they are staging all this area for construction of Rivers of America. If you saw, there's a lot of backstage stuff going on and clearing of land, getting ready for demolishing Rivers of America. So I'm like, when are we going to hear about this? Or is Disney holding off until after the Destination D23 because they don't want to get like booed on off stage?
Like, are they waiting? No, I don't think D23 really factors into it at all, to be honest. So, but I mean, there's no reason to announce anything else. They've already announced what's going to go in all these places. So,
Right, but they haven't announced the closing date yet. So,
no, I mean, but why would they announce a closing date? It's not something you've heard. Have they ever announced a closing date at D23? I mean, they usually announce like what they consider.
That's what I'm saying.
Positive news.
Right, they're going to wait until after D23 so they don't get like.
Or they're going to do it before so they don't have to say anything about it at D23. So that's the only thing that matters.
Well, they need to get on it.
Just don't mention a D23 and you're fine.
Yeah. And I will talk about the villain show, but the villain show and the Little Mermaid new shows debuted this past week. And
you only saw one of them?
I only saw one in person. I did watch the mermaid one after the fact. And It looks good.
It was basically the same show, but with updated.
Way more updated than it was.
Right.
Thankfully.
Well, the show that was in place was what, 30 some odd years old?
Super old, yeah. Pretty old. Yeah, so it was pretty old.
Pretty old. His head was going to fall off.
Yeah, Ariel's head fell off. Hopefully not, because that was the real person.
It's the live person.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
What was one of the puppets?
Sebastian Flounder.
Sebastian's head fell off.
Well, Flounder was basically just a head. His head was so big. Right. Anyway, continue. Or its face was.
Yeah, the new show is good. I'll get into the villain show more, because I really liked it, though. I thought the villain show was good. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. But what was the other news? There was another one. Well, Phineas and Ferb meet and greet started earlier this week, as you're hearing this.
Yes, well, we mentioned that last week, though, or last time, because I thought it was odd that they were having character meets of a show that's not active, but yet we found out it was going to have a resurgence, I guess, like it was going to have a new, there's a lot of shows from 15 years ago that are apparently resurfacing. So,
yeah, that's the trend, is like everything's a remake these days.
I just watched Duck Dynasty, the revival. So,
I thought you were going to say Stitch because you saw it.
Well, today. That too. I did see Stitch. Yes.
And what were your thoughts?
My thoughts is it was a really good movie. It was very entertaining. It was, you know, it took the original and didn't ruin it, so to speak. So, no, I thought it was good. It's good stuff. It was good incorporation.
Yeah. Disney's didn't do great with Snow White, obviously, this year.
Well, Snow White was DOA.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it might have been a DOA, not dead on arrival, but dead on announcement. I mean, pretty much.
Right, right. So Lilo and Stitch has been out for a week, and it's made $280 million, already the number two film of the year box office.
Already number two. What's number one?
Minecraft movie.
Oh, of course, Minecraft.
But that's domestic only, by the way. Sorry, not. I was looking at domestic. Oh, okay.
Well, you notice there's also a trend about when you release films, right? So yes. Memorial Day weekend. And Minecraft was what, spring break time period when it came out? So
yeah, it was spring break, yeah. But domestically, Minecraft, Lilo and Stitch 1 and 2.
Now don't get me wrong, there is more to it than just when you release something. There has to be a perfect, like everything has to line up. You actually have to have something people want to see as well. So, you know, let's not think that anything could have made that.
Yeah. Globally, the number one movie of the year so far is Ni-Za 2.
I don't know what that is. I'm assuming it's something Chinese.
I don't know, but 98.9% of its money was made internationally. $1.8 billion and $20 million U.S. But anyway, Minecraft is number two with $947 million. Leo and Stitch has already made $610 million worldwide. So
it's only had two. This is only its second weekend.
Yeah, seems like it's doing. It's a pretty big success already. Then Captain America is number four. That's another Disney. So
I didn't even know they had a yes.
That one came out early in the year. Was it February or March?
Yeah. By the way, one of the previews during Leo and Stitch was the newest installment of Superman that James Gunn is doing or has done.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
I'm actually interested to see this one. I say that because James Gunn seems to be trying to incorporate some of the original music, like the way the lettering looked and everything. He's trying to incorporate all the, like a little bit of the old, like the Christopher Reeve era into it. So
okay.
It actually looks rather appealing.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know who the actor is that's playing Lex Luthor, but he looks like Freddie Freeman with a bald cap on.
Okay.
So.
Right on.
I'm not sure. I must have missed that one. But
yeah, I'm not familiar, but okay.
It's an interesting story, though, because it's like, apparently Superman did something to, like, help bring world peace in some way, shape, or form. Like, he got involved in some sort of international incident, and apparently now the government is, like, because it wasn't authorized or some crap like that. It's kind of interesting. It's very modern in that sense. So
okay.
That's the best I picked up from that. So, I mean, it does seem like it could be interesting. It makes me want to see it. Let's put it that way. And it feels like it has the proper mix. And I feel like maybe this is another thing. Maybe I just like James Gunn's style because I loved what he did with Guardians. So maybe I just like his style. Maybe that's part of it. So,
well, that's definitely goes a long way if you like the way the director does things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it makes a difference.
It goes a long way. Yeah, definitely makes a difference. I want to go see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, too. But
Yes, that's right. I saw a poster for that.
Those are, yeah. The last one was really good, but I don't know. I've heard mixed reviews on this one, but
there's a couple of sequels out this summer. Another Final Destination, apparently.
Yeah.
Megan 2. 2.0, right. I guess is what it said.
What's funny is Snow White still is in the top 10 of movies this year, I'm sure. By the end of the year, it won't be, obviously, because it only made $205 million worldwide, so.
Yeah, it was a disappointment by Disney standards, I guess. Maybe that's what they meant.
Well, they lost a ton of money on it, so I think it was, what, a $300 million budget or something.
It I haven't given it a look, but I just can't see from what I've seen, like just what I have seen. It just doesn't, yeah.
But I was trying to think back, all of the Disney releases lately have been sequels or prequels or remakes or whatever until I think the Pixar film coming up.
Elio.
Yeah. I was trying to
think. Yeah. We saw a trailer for that one too. I don't know. I'm not so sure the concept is going to be super appealing to others. I mean, as a kid that's longing to be abducted by alien, basically. Right. It had a little bit of entertainment, the type jokes.
It reminded me of Luca. Like the kid.
The kid does, yes. It's almost like it's a carbon copy of it. I think that one's going to be tough to get people on board with. Let's just put it that way. But we'll see.
We'll see. Maybe.
This one holds the potential of being one of those that probably won't do as good in the theater, but once it hits Disney Plus, it'll gain traction. Like there's a few that's done that, right?
Right. And
so
I see Zoe Saldana's in it. That's Brian Garrett. So there you go. America Ferrera.
Some recognizable talent, right? I know you were interested when you heard Zoe Saldana. So
I am now. I didn't know it until 5 seconds ago. I saw this in person while I was there as well. The Keystone Clothiers at Hollywood Studios. This is changing subjects. That facade that broke like 3 years ago. And Disney finally fixed it. It took them like 3 years to fix it. It was like this marble looking storefront for part of that store. It's finally fixed. That took them 3 years. But I think, as I will note, there was several things. You can see these little projects going on in the parks and the resorts where money's starting to flow. Like you can see Disney's finally releasing some money. Because this random stuff is getting done that, like the day we were leaving, they just started repaving the Pop Century parking lot just randomly. It was like the whole week, nothing. And then the day we were leaving, we were walking towards the main building and the whole parking lot was like completely demolished and they were redoing
demolished.
It. So, yeah, like they had torn up the entire pavement overnight and they were repaving it. I was like, wow, that's random, but fast. And there's definitely these little projects going on all over where it's like, oh, they're finally fixing little things that had been neglected for a long time. So it's good to see, but I don't see any other news. It is kind of a slow news week.
It is?
Yeah, I don't see anything. So I guess I'll go ahead and get into the trip report.
Yeah. All right.
So I was there Memorial Day weekend, right before and right through Memorial Day, and the crowd levels were pretty low the entire week. I mean, I was mentioning that as we went, the busiest day was our last day, which we changed to go to Hollywood Studios to try and see the Villains show, which we did, and that was the most crowded I had seen any of the parks. Was Hollywood Studios that day, but it was also two new shows debuting. So a lot of people showed up to the parks just or to that park for that day. But otherwise, man, Memorial Day itself at Magic Kingdom, I did not need Lightning Lane for really anything. Like, Tron was the only one that was, like, kind of needed, you know. I could have waited an hour for it. I didn't want to, but so I paid for the single pass on that one. But other than maybe Tiana's, even Space Mountain was like 30 minutes. I could have done that. Mine Train, I think, was around 45. So I don't know. Nothing was really that busy.
Yeah, it actually seems to be busier this weekend than it was last weekend.
Yeah. I imagine as more schools let out, more people will start, it'll start showing up. But
maybe.
I mean, I guess because Memorial Day is kind of one of those holidays now. I've gone on Memorial Day several times in the last few years, and it's never been that busy. It's nowhere near like 4th of July or, you know, I'm trying to think of other holidays, spring break time, Christmas, of course, or Thanksgiving. It's always much busier. But Memorial Day, I mean, obviously Labor Day is probably the reigning champion of when you should go for a holiday weekend. But Memorial Day is not far behind.
You know, I just noticed, speaking about slower times,
uh-huh.
I went and looked at Touring Plan's crowd calendar that they have, right? And for the first time ever, I don't think for the entire year, unless I just missed it last year, there's not a one anywhere
on the calendar.
I think the lowest it ever got at any point in time was one day had a two for some of them, one of them or something like that. But no ones. This kind of lets you know where things are. Like, right, you know, you used to have ones and twos during certain times of the year that were listed.
Like September.
Now they don't even anticipate any ones or twos.
Mm. Yeah.
Throughout any day. So it just kind of lets you know what environment we are now in versus what it used to be.
Do they still post after if it was plus or minus how many, whatever?
Yeah, they do.
I'm curious what Memorial Day was, because I think they had Memorial Day as a four. I think it was probably less than, but maybe a three. I don't know exactly what their
criteria is. If I'm not mistaken, they usually only post like the day after, like how we did yesterday type deal.
Because that was a very uncrowded Magic Kingdom. It's been a while since I've seen Magic Kingdom that light.
Yeah, well, let me go backwards, I don't think.
No worries. I was just curious. So we stayed at Pop Century. I'll mention that. I picked it for the Skyliner, and I did wear my Team Monorail shirt on the Skyliner at one point. Nobody said anything, but get yours, travelingwithmouse.com. Look for the merch button. But I also wore it on the monorail.
Plug, plug, plug.
Yes, plug it up. All right, so we stayed at Pop Century for the Skyliner. I really like what they did to Everything Pop. That one, when we were there in January, it was still behind some construction wall, like the gift shop and everything was partially closed. And part of the, I guess, the seating area of the food court was closed, and now it's open, and they have like these little couches and like table chairs, like loungy looking area, which I think is pretty nice. And the gift shop looks a lot better.
So it's not currently Everything Pop. It's just most things.
Well, no, I mean, it's open now. I was saying back in January, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But today, it's fully finished. And I think they did a really good job with that one. That was another one of those construction projects that is now finished, but it looks good. I mentioned, too, that we went over to Art of Animation and went to their, why am I blanking? What's the food court at Art of Animation?
Landscape of Flavors.
Golly. So yeah, Landscape of Flavors. And they had some better food options, but I still like Everything Pop better overall. The vibe is better there for some reason. It's not as cramped feeling. It's more open. And food's still pretty good at Pop Century. I mean, honestly, Disney's quick service, I got to hand it to them. I think it's pretty darn good. And the prices aren't awful, you know? I mean, they're not like, if you go to Six Flags or stuff, you know, you're paying more, I think, in a lot of cases for subpar food. I think Disney has a pretty high standard. Not everything, but I mean, most of their quick service, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a fan. I like a lot of their quick services. My kids really loved Woody's Lunchbox as we went back there as well. But my son's a huge tachos fan. So Pop Century has tachos for breakfast.
And oh, where are you? So he can get tachos all the time.
Yes. And he thought Woody's Lunchbox had better tachos than Pop Century. So once he tried that one.
I can't remember the last time I got food from Pop.
They have some good options. I mean, we got tired of eating kind of the same stuff after like 4 or 5 days. So we ventured out. That's when we went to Landscape of Flavors and tried some different things.
I seem like I remember they had a good Impossible Burger over at Landscape of Flavors when you were talking about being there. I remember.
Yeah, they had like a Korean. Is that the one that has like the Korean style Impossible Burger?
I don't know, unless they changed it. The one I had a few years back, I guess it was 2021, had avocado on it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah. Oh, as far as burgers, though, I had a really good. Oh, it was at Wailulu Cafe again, Polynesian. I love that new. I wouldn't call it, it's not quick service, but it's that kind of loungy. It's a bar and grill.
Loungy?
You can walk up to the one section, but you can get a reservation at the other or join the walk-up list on the other. And, man, it was cool. We were sitting, it's like an infinity pool in the restaurant kind of thing. Like the tables almost are like, they're like at the level of the water. Does that make sense? The booths.
Sure.
It's like looking out for the water. But anyway, it's a great place and they have a really good burger. So put it that way.
Better than Geyser Point or?
Well, see, I haven't had that one in a while.
Oh.
So you had that one more recently. So I should have gotten over there to Geyser Point, but I didn't venture over there. But anyway,
the Bison Burger.
So we got in that Thursday night last whatever. I can't even think what day it was before Memorial Day. And we just sort of ate at the hotel and got settled in. We decorated our window. As I showed you, like, okay. We got into doing that this time. Staying at the Values, you get the window sill you can decorate. And so we did a tiki room theme. I'll probably include a picture on the blog post or whatever. But
okay.
So or we whatever. Did that. Yeah. But my son, we always end with Animal Kingdom because it's kind, you know, it's kind of a half day park.
That's why you end with it?
Yeah, we usually end because we'll go to a park and then leave. You know, it's also the closest to the exit. So he knows that and he's like, I want to start with Animal Kingdom because I hate ending with Animal Kingdom because he knows it's time to leave. So he wanted to start there. So we started with Animal Kingdom and the crowd level was very low there that day. That was Friday. The day after Epic opened. We certainly didn't need Lightning Lanes there, but I did buy the single pass for Flight of Passage, of course. I think it was like an hour, a little over, like 75 minute maybe. So it was worth it for that, I guess. But crowds weren't bad. We went to Rafiki's Planet Watch, which we don't normally do. Have you been there lately, like hanging out?
Nope. I don't know that I've ever been there.
I know we've taken the train there once or twice, but we didn't really hang out there that much. But it's a long walk to the building. But once you're in there, there is like the zoo exhibit type thing of indoor like reptiles and spiders and something like lizards and stuff, which I thought was really cool to actually see. Because you kind of forget sometimes that Animal Kingdom is a zoo. And they do have all these really cool zoo exhibits that not enough people go see, probably. So that was fun, actually. I would go back often to there. Really, the big thing, though, that they try to push on you is the animation thing, which we didn't bother with. Because we wanted to park off to Magic Kingdom at that point, so we were going to wait for that. But they also have where you can watch them do, like, the veterinarian-type work on some of the animals. They have a schedule posted where, like, oh, at 1 o'clock you can see us, like, do dental work on a tiger or something, you know what I mean? They had, like, there was something they were going to do later that day, but we're like, we don't want to wait for that. But, you know, they'll bring animals in and you can, like, watch them through a window, like, do stuff to the animals. That sounds weird.
Okay.
Do, like, veterinarian work, you know.
Definitely should have worded that one differently.
Yes. They do, like, medical stuff, I should say, to the animals, like, necessary things. Anyway. So we parked at Magic Kingdom because we did preferred parking. We parked there and then took the monorail to Polynesian and then had lunch at Wailulu. I love that place. It's my new favorite place to go. We tried to ride Space Mountain that day, but the lights were on twice. So when we rode the People Mover, the lights were on. And we were in line two times when it broke down. So I don't know what's going on, but I hope after Big Thunder reopens that maybe they will replace the Space Mountain track. Don't you think? I think it needs it.
I don't know that I would look too terribly promising for that. Just saying.
Really? Because it's older than Big Thunder, and Big Thunder got a track replacement, although it's an outdoor coaster versus an indoor, but still.
Although it also had other motivation, like having to change the track to make way for a new land. I think was part of the reason.
Possibly. But I'm happy that Big Thunder's getting a new track because it's going to be smooth. It was not that it wasn't that bad.
Most likely.
But Space Mountain is not smooth.
You've seen that, like, reel or whatever that people have done where it says the way they put it was Space Mountain after 30, and that shows the clip of Johnny Cash is like, I hurt myself today.
Exactly. Right.
I would think that after riding the Matterhorn, especially if I was in the back.
Totally. Yeah, the Matterhorn. Yeah.
If you're riding in the very back car of the Matterhorn, good Lord.
Yeah, good luck to you.
You get pounded.
Really?
You really do.
The Yeti gives you a pounding.
Well, no, the rocket ship, whatever. What is it you're riding in? Sled? Whatever it is. What is it? Rocket ship. Yes. Why would it be a rocket ship?
Bobsled.
There you go.
But it's kind of like Space Mountain. I mean, the way it looks is similar to our Space Mountain.
Yeah, it would be because of the time period it was built in.
But yeah, I would love if they rebuilt it. I mean, look at what Tokyo is doing to their Space Mountain. Can you imagine if they did that in Florida?
Yeah. But
it's only a dream if Tokyo is doing it.
They could at some point redo this. I just don't think it's high on their list. You know what I mean? Especially when it comes to a ride like Space Mountain, that's not, they don't really have to have a reason to do something to it. Let's just put it that way. If something breaks, then maybe they would do consider it. So,
yeah. So the other thing I observed, because we did Tiana's, that's that first day, late afternoon. Tiana seems to be working a lot better. I need to look at some of the reliability stats, but the times we were there, we rode it twice. Everything was working, all the animatronics. The only slight maybe hiccup we had was there was a little bit of a backup on the final lift hill where it stopped for probably like 45 seconds to a minute before it let another boat go. So I don't know what the holdup may have been, but everything else was working fine. Like all the effects were working, the animatronics were working.
That you could tell.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't notice anything that was obviously not working great.
No mouths?
I do have one video of Tiana in the final scene. She wasn't moving super fluidly, but it wasn't like she was standing still, you know what I mean? Like I've seen before.
It's like the way most of them are. She's like she was a ventriloquist.
She was like,
y'all, they are ready for the party.
Right.
Just like, you know.
Right. Exactly. No, everything was working a lot better, and the ride was operating smoothly. So it's worth, especially in the summer, it's definitely worth that lightning lane. But the lightning lane is insanely easy to get. So I'm surprised at how backed up that line is. Oh, maybe it is because of the lightning lane, but still. We walked right on almost both times we did the lightning lane.
Yeah.
It was five minutes.
Both times?
Yeah. Both times we walked to the merge point without stopping. But yeah, Tiana's is doing a lot better. This time, though, so we stayed at Magic Kingdom until close, but we decided to do Mine Train during the fireworks instead of waiting until after. Because we know there's like a big influx of people. The line said 30 minutes, I think it was. Uh-huh. Or no, it said 45. And we waited 30. But we watched the fireworks from the queue of Mine Train as we could. The other thing that we observed from the queue of Mine Train during the fireworks was they were hosing down the roofs of the buildings. I assume because all those fireworks that launched from the buildings, just to make sure there's no fires breaking out, they were like hosing down the roofs of the buildings. But yeah, we rode Mine Train. That was fine at night, and then took a long time to get back because, you know, Magic Kingdom takes forever. That's the huge downside of when you're staying at a value. And
well, you're literally going from one end to the other, though, too, pretty right. much.
But when you park at Magic Kingdom parking lot, even though we were preferred, it's still like there's just no quick way to get back. I mean, walking from the Magic Kingdom all the way to TTC might be faster than waiting on a ferry boat, monorail, or bus.
You could have paid for a minivan.
Right. You could pay like $60 to go 3 miles in a minivan, but didn't feel like doing it. So anyway, so we got back late, so we got a very late start to the next day, which was our Epcot day. But as we know, even with a late start, we still got everything done, especially with the crowds as low as they were.
Mm-hmm.
I think we showed up at Epcot at like 10-something, I don't know, 10:30, I don't know. You know, the key to multi-passes we've talked about before is getting that first whatever ride it is. I think we did Living with the Land first just to break the tier system and so you can book something else, especially Hollywood Studios. It's important. And I already had a Ratatouille booked. I was able to get a Frozen. That was the hard one. I noticed too, because Touring Plans have reported this, that it seemed like Disney was lowering the ratio of Lightning Lane guests to standby, because the standbys were all lower than I mean, the crowds were pretty low, but usually even with low crowds, the wait times didn't reflect that all the time. But this time the standby waits, like Frozen was always hovering around like 45, 50 minutes at peak. And that was
it never probably wasn't that. Actually that
probably not
the posted time. Right. So,
right. But when you get there, the queue was like barely outside the building, which is, you know, they don't need the extended queue. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not a big queue for Frozen. So
no, not really. That's another one too, though, that also has some operational issues, and it's been a while.
True. And it's also, you know, low capacity for the most part. I mean, it's not a big ride. So, and Ratatouille was also pretty low. I mean, there were times where it was under 30 minutes during the day, and it would spike up to, you know, maybe 50, 55 or something, and then drop back down. So we could have done without multipass this whole trip, honestly, but ahead of time, I would have never guessed that. It was after I'd already bought it that...
Yeah, so you're like, I'm going to need this anyway.
Thinking
maybe it's a good idea to be just buy it day of like you used to, right?
Yeah, I know, but... But then you'll miss out on a lot of the...
So what?
Well, like single pass is going to sell out before the day of. It usually, even still...
Oh, you're talking about individual, like if you're... Yeah, but there's only... Single. How many of those now? Three?
But I did notice like at Epcot.
Ratatouille and Frozen were always like sold out. By the time you got to like noon, they were both sold out. Now you could get it if you were persistent. And that's how I was able to get Frozen. But there was the next day that we went to Epcot, another day, I couldn't get any either one of them. Like it was a park hop to Epcot. So trying to get it late in the afternoon, nothing. So I did notice that, you know, I think there's less overall availability for Lightning Lanes because I think the ratio, it does feel like there's less people in the Lightning Lane lines. I mean, at least in this experience, I didn't see as many.
Well, I hardly ever see that many. So it's kind of hard.
Well, I mean, there's times where the Lightning Lanes can be pretty busy. But we walked right to the merge point almost every time we used the Lightning Lane. The Flower and Garden was pretty good. I won't go too much into that because it's basically over already. But there was some good stuff there. We sampled. I always love festivals at Epcot, but now we're in Diet Epcot for the next month and a half. So actually 2 months almost.
2 months of Diet Epcot? What's up with that?
That's like the old days. That's like 2019,
20. Okay, let's
talk about COVID. And of course, I mean, when we're at Epcot, where do we spend most of our time? So
I'm going to guess
the certain place.
There's a cave in Mexico that you like to go to.
The tequila cave.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we're there, of course. Barbas, our buddy and friend to the show, he's been on it before, was there. And yeah, it was busy that day, but La Cava was having some issues with the internet issue. They were having internet issues in that the whole, I don't know if it was all of Epcot or what, but they were affected by it, and it was backed up because it was slow. Like I think the only way you could pay was like Magic Band or cash or whatever. So it was slow, but they had fixed it by the time we got there. But anyway, we got in and hung out for a while, and it was fun as usual. Hats off to La Cava. It's still my favorite overall place to hang out in general. There's always fun people there to hang out with too. So. But the next time we went to Cava was the most fun, but I'll get to that later. Day three was Hollywood Studios. Another low crowd day. This was Sunday before Memorial Day. We did our usual baseline rope drop, and then we ate lunch at Brown Derby Lounge, which is another one of my favorite hangout spots, like the Manhattan there. I think it's... Is it Ron or Rob? I think it's Ron. It's the bartender at Brown Derby Lounge, and he's been there for like 25 years. I see him like every time I'm in Hollywood Studios, so he's there a lot. He makes the best Manhattan ever, so hats off to you. I gave him a cast compliment. It rained that day. That was the first day we really had a lot of rain, so we left right after lunch, and we were going to hang out at the pool and come back. And it was one of those Florida storms where it just sort of bubbles up right on top of you and just doesn't move. So we had Lightning Lanes lined up in the evening for Rock and Roller Coaster, I think Runaway Railway and something else. And then we were going to try to do Rise as well. And it just rained from like 4 p.m. to like, it really never stopped the rest of the evening. But it was like torrential, like thunderstorm for like 2.5 hours straight. And we just sort of like sat in the room like, okay, should we try to go now? And then lightning would strike like a second away.
It's like you got your answer.
Yeah, like, okay, I guess we'll stay because we had to walk. We were in the 80s, you know, so we'd have to walk quite a ways. And the Skyliner doesn't run in the rain, as we talked about in our Skyliner v Monorail episode. One of the downsides of the Skyliner is you can't run it in the lightning when lightning's around. So we had to take a bus because I didn't want to drive to Hollywood Studios either because that would be even more time in the rain. So we had to venture out to the bus stop. So yeah, we ventured out and it sort of lightened up the rain by the time we got to Hollywood, and
So the highlight that evening was my youngest did Rock and Roller Coaster for the first time. Like, he's the daredevil one, though, but he was nervous about this one because he had never done an ups. Well, actually, he had done an upside down at Six Flags already. I forgot about that. But he was like, this one felt different. But he loved it afterwards and wanted to do it again, of course. And then we went over to Rise and we waited like 5 minutes to do Rise of the Resistance. I think it was around 7:30 p.m. So it was still an hour and a half before. But the rain, I'm sure, drove most people away. So it was low crowd.
Those that were in the outside part anyway.
Right. And they had already announced that Fantasmic was being most likely canceled. I think they said due to the weather, it's going to be delayed or canceled. So it was not a lot of people waiting for Fantasmic because it just looked like it wasn't going to happen. And I don't think it did that night. But when you just were like, well, we'll go over to Rise anyway. And it was posted at, I think it was posted 15 minutes. But we, you know, walked all the way through the queue to the, basically to the last room and waited maybe a couple of minutes there before we got to the pre-show. So it was nothing.
Everything was working there?
Yes, that was the other thing. I actually got through the ride the last two times. I got evac'd. Well, not evac'd. I didn't make it onto the ride to get evac'd, but I got escorted out both times because the ride broke down, not because I did something. But anyway.
This time.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't drop anything on the track.
Right. No, I didn't. Actually, they were telling guests to remove their hats this time. So I think that might be another issue.
Well, if anything whatsoever falls on those trackless tracks, tracks, that's kind of weird. On the floor, we'll say, of those trackless rides, it shuts down.
It shuts down the whole ride. And Rise, it takes like 45 minutes to reboot it, apparently.
Yeah, to warm it up, I guess.
Right. And I think the same thing goes for like Runaway Railway. So they were telling the first order people when you're in that area are basically telling us, they told me to take my hat off, and they told like anybody who was wearing a hat to remove their hat.
Take off your hat.
But they were saying it like out of respect, you need to take your hat off, whatever, that kind of thing. But I think it's more or less like, because this is the most common problem is people's hats flying off and blocking the track, that they're making people take their hats off now. So it's a good thing, probably. Loose item. And they were very adamant about that when you were loading in the ride vehicle. Any loose items, like hang on to them or put them down like at your feet. So I think maybe that's going to help the reliability.
Maybe.
Yeah, everything was working. Every effect, aside from the cannons, of course, which they only did for the Disney Plus ride through at Disney. We also said goodbye to Muppets that night. And the Muppet Courtyard. So as of
just later, in case,
well, I mean, it's closed. Muppet 3D is closing this week. The 7th. Right. We did not get to eat at Pizza Rizzo because it closed. It closed at 5 p.m. So it was pouring down rain at that point. So we didn't get to go to Pizza Rizzo again to say goodbye. But my kids aren't the biggest fan of Muppet Vision 3D, though. I hate that they don't love it as much.
Well. Possibly a generational thing.
It shows you why it's closing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not enough of us to keep it
enough
going.
Not enough people that remember the Muppets fondly.
Right.
Especially not enough people that remember Muppet jokes.
Right, exactly.
Or think they're funny.
Right. I just don't think 3D shows in general are that.
Like, well, that, yeah.
Although, I mean, PhilharMagic seems to get a decent crowd here and there, but I don't know. I still don't think kids love 3D shows like they used to.
I still like one of those lines at the beginning of the show when he was like, we invited brilliant scientists from all over the world. Sure. Unfortunately, none of them showed up. So we have Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
Right. None of them showed up. Yeah. It is great stuff.
I mean, it's funny.
It is. I love that kind of stuff. And that was the other thing, too. We were trying to convince about Rock and Roller Coaster, convincing Harrison, my youngest, to do it because it's like, you need to experience this version because the next time, who knows, they may have It may be closed for turning it into the Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster or whatever. So you need to experience the original at least, so you have that, you know, memory.
Right.
That was one of the things we used to talk him into it. But again, now
he
did it. Yes, because now he loves it. So
you love it just in time to. So it's a two-edged sword.
Exactly. Now he's like, oh, like, we'll do it again.
Expose you to something that you're going to have to forget.
Yeah, that's going to close.
Well, the ride vehicle, the part that they probably love the most is still going to be a part of it. So.
Yeah, I mean, the coaster itself won't change. It's just the music and whatever theming they put inside the track, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever glowing effects they throw in the track, I don't know. All right, so the last full day was Memorial Day, Magic Kingdom, and I purposefully went to Kona for breakfast, for parking, but I actually ate there because you can't do the change reservation hack anymore.
Oh,
So we actually ate at Kona, but I love eating at Kona because, you know.
Yes.
It's nostalgic.
It's Kona.
Exactly. I did not do Tonga Toast this time, though, because, I don't know, too much sugar.
Too much Tonga Toast.
Exactly. But I did get, you know, I think I got like the big whatever sample of breakfast. But the coffee. It might have been. I forgot what they call it. The coffee, though, is so good. The Kona coffee is amazing. So
that press pot.
Yes, I got the press pot. I took some to go because it's so good. It's coffee for two, but I took one to go and it's so good. And
you took a whole pot to go?
Well, right. No, my wife had like this much with like this much cream. And then I'm like, you know, a little dash of cream.
I take it black.
I won't go there. But I was going to say, yeah, I didn't need multipass that day at Magic Kingdom because literally everything, like there was times where I had the lightning lane. I'm like, this isn't going to save us any time. So I'm like, I didn't even bother booking it. Like Dumbo or Barnstormer or stuff like that. I was like, there's no wait. So like the lightning lane is not going to do any good. There were several like that. But then there was a few like Haunted Mansion. We did Jungle Cruise, like a few of those. Peter Pan, I was able to get a Peter Pan. But anyway, so a handful, it helped a little bit, but for the most part, we didn't need it. But they charged $32 for Magic Kingdom that day. So it's like they anticipated a higher crowd because that's not the highest Magic Kingdom gets, obviously. It's like 39 currently is the
right.
highest, but it's not the lowest. So, no. Anyway,
it was for that day because they made a higher profit on it.
Right.
Out of a few people.
They did. But so what we decided to do, because we got through everything so quickly, we're like, Barbas is at Epcot today, but you know, at La Cava today. So we park hopped to Epcot and then it started raining again. But my son did. We did Journey of Water. I think we did Spaceship Earth when we walked in. There was no wait for that either. And then we did Journey of Water. And didn't you talk about how your daughter got soaked? Was it Journey of Water, right?
Yes, it was. And had to change clothes.
Yes, my son did the exact same thing. And thankfully, I brought clothes in my backpack for him to change. And so he was fine. He wasn't super wet until the last scene. And he just came walking over and he was like completely soaked from head to toe. And I was like, what happened? It's like that final thing.
Yeah, it's where the, it's actually right around where Tamatoa is. They have those water features that like are squirting up or whatever, where you stand on them type deal. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the very end. And I was like, okay, we made it through. And then he comes walking over, like waddling over, like completely soaked. I'm like, what? How did you get that wet? And I had to take him to the bathroom at the Seas and try to like pat him down with paper towels. But anyway, so we did that and we mostly dried him off. But then it started raining while we were in the Seas. So we hung out in the Seas for like 30 minutes. while it passed over. And luckily, this one passed over. Gave us enough time to get to La Cava before it started raining again. We barely made it to, like, we got to the Odyssey and it started pouring again. So we made it to La Cava, and that's when we just, there was like nobody in Mexico either. So we just hung out La Cava for like 2 hours because it was raining and there was like very few people there. So it was one of the best times just hanging out at La Cava. That was worth it. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention too, Journey into Imagination. We did the last couple of times I've ridden that ride. That final scene is like, doesn't work. Like nothing works in that final scene. It's like they don't even care anymore about that one. So I'm like, surely they're going to do something with this.
What do you mean by nothing works? Like, what's not working?
When you get to that final scene, like, the panels aren't even, you know, the panels that, like, whatever. There's, like, two or three of them that aren't even up. You see through the scenery behind it. And so this time, there was no dialogue, no nothing. We were just in that room, and then all of a sudden, you know, the
air sound.
Yeah. So it was like half of the stuff wasn't even working. It was just like, what? Like, there was no dialogue, no, like, setup for that. It was just like, in the face. And because we thought the ride was, like, stopped or something. All of a sudden. So it was crazy. I'm like, the last time I was in that scene, nothing happened either. Like, the panels weren't working anyway. So I'm like, what the heck? Like, they really don't care about this ride. So, and there was no wait for that either, by the way. None. It was like,
oh, well, can't believe that.
It was like 10 people in the entire building. So,
bet it would have been the same if you had gone to Living with the Land.
Well, actually, well, I don't know. The Land, I think that night, yeah, it wasn't busy. But anyway, so. The other thing I wanted to mention was the magic of Disney, because my son, the first day we were at Hollywood Studios, we were at Brown Derby Lounge. I have a photo. I took a selfie. And he loves this popcorn bucket, the Guardians of the Galaxy Skyliner popcorn bucket. He takes it everywhere, but he forgot it. He left it at Brown Derby Lounge. Uh-oh. We didn't realize that until the next day when we were about to leave to go to the parks. It was like, where's your popcorn bucket? I had it right here, you know. And then I traced back the pictures and I was like, the last picture that you have it is Brown Derby Lounge. And so the last day we decided to change our park reservation from Animal Kingdom to Hollywood Studios so that we could go back and see if we found it and lost and found. The first thing we did when we walked in the park was go to the guest relations, and there it was. They had it. So
nice.
Disney miracle. Like, we literally just described it, and she walked back, and 2 seconds later, she came back and was like, here it is. I was like, that's amazing. So I'm assuming, you know, probably somebody who works at Brown Derby Lounge, like when they were cleaning the table, saw it and turned it in. But if it was another guest, you know, my wife was like, there's no way someone's going to turn that in. I'm like, it's Disney. Like, I feel like most people would. I don't know.
Well, it's probably a cast member really the guy that found it.
Probably, but still.
Cleaned up the table or something and then found they saw it there.
Most likely. But still, the fact that it was still there, it's like 2 days later too. Because they said they do like clean it out. They'd only give it like 24 hours for people to come claim it. But for whatever reason, it was still there. So.
Oh, yeah, it's usually at the park and less than that.
Yeah.
At the front.
Right. So, hats off for that. That was great. But that last day, we did do Ogas, which was, it's still fun. I don't know. I'm kind of soured on Ogas because I don't think the drinks are that good. I think they're overpriced. And
that's one of those places that you go for the novelty of it.
Right. It's a fun environment, though. So, I do give it that. I do like the beers there, though. The beers are good, and they're not, like, insanely overpriced. So I will get those now, like the Gold Squadron, I think, lager or whatever is my go-to now. It's good. You know, you have to stand with kids. It's never that great. I mean, there's only a handful of tables to sit at, so most likely you're going to be standing. kids hate standing, so we don't stay very long, which I guess is the point.
Do you come in there with kids and they're like, hey, we don't serve their kind here.
Right, yeah. No, they will gladly serve them, you know, something that's, you know, a $10 mocktail, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But anyway.
Your kids. They'll have to wait outside.
Yeah. That would be hilarious if they did do that. But they won't. And then, like I said, Woody's Lunchbox, my kids love that. But then the highlight of the day was going to the villain show. We had to wait like 45 minutes because I think we got to that area right before 1 p.m. and they said the 1 p.m. show was already full. You have to wait for the 1:30. There's different times during the day. Some are 30 minutes apart. Some are like an hour apart, depending on the time. But anyway, we got and did the show. We were up pretty close to the front. I think it's fantastic. It's really well done. The song is catchy. I kind of like the song. Some people complain about the mirror on the wall song. I thought it was pretty good. The actors who are Maleficent, Hook, and Cruella are all very good. And it's basically, they're just trying to convince the crowd to cheer for them. And then at the end, you know, they pick a winner based on the crowd applause.
So it has the capability of being three different endings.
Three different endings, although the ending is like essentially the character who wins just stays out there longer. And then you basically takes a bow essentially and then walks out. I mean, that's really, it's not a lot different. It's just every show I've seen, Maleficent has won. I don't know if that's a trend. The one who did Maleficent was fantastic. Although Cruella, my son really wanted Cruella to win for some reason. He was like jumping up and down trying to get applause for her. But she almost won, but she didn't quite win. I think it's a great show. It's a great addition to Hollywood Studios. The theater, it's 600 people capacity. So it's bigger than the Mermaid one. I forgot. I think the Mermaid one's like 400 people, if I'm not. I don't know, something like that. I can't remember. It's a good people eater. And I think it's Hollywood Studios needs some more of that. So I think I would go back for sure to go see this again and hope for like Cruella this time. But that was it. That was our trip in a nutshell. Then we left. And I am been sad all week because we left.
Come on.
Yeah. Because it was a really fun trip. The only thing, I did get kind of tired of being at a value resort for that long because we did some pool time, but, you know, the pools at the mods and the deluxes are, there's more to do, so it's a little more fun. And the walk from the 80s to the Skyliner and the main building is almost as bad as the 90s building, so.
Yeah.
It got old after like a few days of doing that. It was just right. So much more walking. So right. I should have upped in trying to do preferred. I just went with standard, but anywho, next time for staying that long, I think you gotta fork over some more to stay a little bit, either a preferred room or stay at a mod or deluxe. So. But we may or may not get a cruise trip report, possibly. So next week
we could. It's possible. We'll see. It was quite very well possible.
Your brother went on the Treasure. I would like to hear about the Treasure.
No, he went on the Wish.
Oh, the Wish. Oh, wait. Oh, Jason's going on the Treasure, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I got him confused. He went on the Wish, which we still haven't had. I don't think any of us have been.
No one's been on the Wish so far.
Okay, so that's
no, James.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear about the Wish, and hopefully we'll hear about the Treasure too. We'll see.
So it's a big treasure.
I know, we quote that all the time.
We always say it. All the time. And nobody gets it, I'm sure.
Spent a toll 1 week.
Oh, yeah. Was easily. And then some.
Yeah, you definitely could spend the treasure there.
The treasure on the treasure?
Yeah.
That's why they call it the treasure. You're going to spend your treasure.
Yeah. But I think, though, the crowds, I mean, Barbara seemed to think that Epic was causing some impact on the crowds. I noticed the crowds didn't seem as high, so I would assume it had some impact just because it was opening week, but
we'll see as the days and weeks go on. I know Epic has been pretty crowded. I think they capped attendance the first week, didn't they? And
they did, at least during opening weekend. I'm not sure how much of opening weekend, but it didn't look like it later on because some of the rides achieved the wait times that you would think.
Yeah. So like 4 or 5 hour waits for certain ones.
No, not that long.
I thought it was for Harry Potter. Well, I thought I saw that it was like a 4 hour wait at one point, but
I mean, they may have posted it at that, but I doubt it was actually that.
I don't know. Well, anywho, that was my trip. We'll see what's coming up next soon. But in the meantime, where can we be found out there?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel in which you can find that where, Adam?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And there is extra merch out there these days. You can go to our website and find a link to it there. So, for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we will see you on our next trip. Possibly.